This special edition in-depth program on agriculture in Marion County is brought to you in part by Pleasantville State Bank, Verduft Agency, Pleasantville Schools, Midtown Tire, Dandy Farms, Cargill of Eddyville, Iowa Elevator Systems and Service, and Key Cooperative. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you would like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Knoxville Manufacturing, Lighton State Bank, American Family Insurance, Starver's Cellular, Don's Heating and Cooling, Proline Building Corporation, Dutch Meadows, and First State Bank. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's the current state of agriculture in Marion County? What are the domestic and global forces that shape what prices our farmers get for their crops? In the first of a 10-part in-depth special edition news magazine, let's go in-depth with Ray Jenkins with Cargill, Eddyville. Ray, Cargill processes a lot of Marion County corn, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Marion County is one of the top four corn counties for us to originate corn from. We buy almost 10 million bushels of corn per year out of Marion County.
10 million?
Yes.
And what proportion of Marion County corn is that? Do you have any idea?
In a lot of years, that would be 70 to 75% of the crop in Marion County.
Okay, so you interact then in one way or another with the majority of farmers in Marion County.
Absolutely. You know, there are parts of the county in the northwestern part where corn might drift back into the Des Moines market, Avon elevator up there. But, a lot of that Marion County corn is going to be destined for Eddyville.
Now, can you tell me then, what is the current status of, say, farming, especially corn-related farming in Marion County? What's it like? What's the business environment like right now?
Well, people were incredibly excited about the possibilities for the 2011 corn crop. They've had opportunities to forward contract new crop production for between $5.50 and $6.25 per bushel, which obviously corn doesn't spend a whole lot of time in that particular atmosphere. Unfortunately, Marion County was also one of the places that had a subpar crop in 2010. So a lot of folks are a little disappointed that they don't have more bushels of old crop corn to sell at these higher prices.
Okay, so the ideal would be to have a lot on hand now to sell, and then in anticipation of a good crop have those continued high prices.
Absolutely. You know, agriculture sometimes can be a pretty cruel business. It can be said that for one group to prosper, another group has to suffer. Well, this year we were in the suffering end of things, and the average corn production in the South Central Crop District in Iowa, of which Marion County is a part, did not even average 100 bushels an acre.
Well, and like you said, in agriculture, some people do well, some people don't. Something's happening now, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems that normally when corn prices are high, that impacts the beef industry in a negative way. But now the beef industry is doing well, too. Everybody's doing well, it looks like.
It's a very odd time, you might say. Now, back in 2008, when we had a significant price run-up, livestock prices did not respond in that particular event. And in the intervening time, we've continued to see some cattle liquidation and stress in these livestock sectors to the point where now, as grain has gone up since about the 1st of July last year, whether it's ethanol or cattle or pork prices, they've all risen in value because the market understands for these people to keep producing that they're going to have to be offered a price that's going to cover these costs.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture in Marion County is brought to you in part by Iowa State Savings Bank, ENT Clinic of Iowa, Knoxville Raceway, Meninga Pest Control, Pleasantville Clinic, Pella Feed Service, Iowa State Investment Representative Joe Cunningham, and Lely USA. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting KNIAKRLS.com and clicking Radio Plus. It's that easy. Just visit KNIAKRLS.com, click Radio Plus, and catch up on in-depth programs that you may have missed. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, Pella Cooperative Electric, Marion County Fair Association, Central College, Knoxville Hy-Vee, Four Seasons Yard Care, Fred's Muffler Shop, and Sunny Slope Greenhouse.
I continued my conversation about Marion County agriculture with Ray Jenkins from Cargill Eddyville. What is made out of Marion County corn that comes to Cargill?
Well, there's a lot of different things that could be made. A portion of it here at Eddyville is made into ethanol. About 15% of our inbound corn supply is destined for ethanol. We also have fermentation processes here where we produce citric acid and itaconic acid for use both in food and industrial purposes there. But the bulk of the corn that comes to Cargill is used to make sweeteners here, which are then distributed to the large beverage manufacturers. In addition, we also supply dextrose made from the starch in corn to across-the-fence customers that make a variety of amino acids, monosodium glutamate, or in the case of our German company, Wacker, down the road, that make cyclodextrins, which is the active ingredient in Procter & Gamble's Febreze.
And a lot of people think that all of the corn that goes into ethanol, it's just all in ethanol, but it doesn't get turned into other products. But that's not true, is it?
No. Whether it's our particular process, which is called wet milling or dry milling, somewhere between 25% and 35% of that kernel of corn is also sold back into the feed market. So you're both getting starch for whatever we're doing here, and you're also getting a feed stream as well.
And where do the products that come out of Cargill go? Are they distributed throughout the United States, to Europe, Asia? Where do they go?
Well, the bulk of our sweetener products are distributed here in the United States, although the export market for high fructose corn syrup sweeteners is actually growing right now, both in Mexico and then in Southeast Asia. But many of the other products, our own citric acid is distributed in over 100 different countries, and the amino acids and monosodium glutamate produced by our neighbors would also be widely distributed globally as well.
So all over the world, Marion County corn goes all over the world.
Absolutely. Yep. Very not unusual for Marion County corn to be found just about every place except Antarctica, I think.
Pretty amazing. And so you have to watch what's happening on the world stage then, don't you?
Right. In our particular subset of the business, where we're a food ingredient manufacturer, we're going to be using just about the same amount of corn every day. So corn prices fluctuate, the market fluctuates, business conditions change, but our business model is based on running this plant at 100% of capacity every day. And so whether it's icy weather in the winter that keeps trucks from coming here, or what's transpired in the last week with the earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear issues in Japan, they're all market movers.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture in Marion County is brought to you in part by Kevin Wadley CPA, Pella Corporation, Ozinga Feeds, Van Monen Seed and Chemical, Motor Inn of Knoxville, Fast Track Sports, Iowa Realty, and Golf Cars of Iowa. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you would like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Marion County Rural Water, Marion County Bank, Pierschbacher Funeral Home, McGriff Spray Foam, Feaster Seeds District Sales Manager Ryan Schumacher, The Antique Peddler, KO Roofing and Siding, and Peterbilt Truck of Des Moines.
I continued my conversation about Marion County agriculture with Ray Jenkins from Cargill Eddyville. There's somewhere between 950 and 1,000 farms in Marion County, last I heard. And so that means that not only you at Cargill, but also the Marion County farmers concerned with what's happening in Japan. And so that is one of the critical elements in terms of running a farm business right now and running a business that relies on farm products. Can you give us sort of a snapshot view of that impact on the Marion County farmer in Cargill?
Sure. So in a year where Marion County produces 10 or 12 million bushels of corn per year, and just in the last 10 days, we've had a $1 swing in corn futures in Chicago. So the value of Marion County corn production changed by about $10 million just in the last 2 weeks to the downside. Now, it had been going up all through the fall and winter, so let's not paint a totally bleak picture here. But whether it's soybeans or corn, when we get these rapid changes, it affects what people are going to do for capital investment on their farm, how much they may be willing to bid on a neighbor's farm that might be coming up to auction. And certainly, we sometimes hear the stress that these wild markets put on people in our phone traffic, because we spend all day talking to our corn suppliers about the markets and what they're trying to accomplish.
Okay, so corn is down. We've been reading, too, that oil is down.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? Is it just general, speculators backing off, or is there a real concern that is deeper than that, more meaningful that I might not see?
Well, a lot of the rally that's been pretty continuous for the last 6 months in a lot of commodities has been based on this quantitative easing that our federal government's been doing.
What's that?
Well, that's where they essentially crank up the printing press and throw money at the economy. And so under those particular conditions, people perceive that as being inflationary and or making assets of many kinds higher in value. So the speculator, who can get hardly anything for his money as far as an interest rate, becomes comfortable with buying asset classes of various kinds. And that's been an ongoing process here since the middle of last summer as well.
So what's the average farmer to think?
Well, I think if I had told someone on the 1st of July last year that they could get $7 for their corn, they'd have sold every bushel because the price of corn was a little over $4 at that time. In the last 30 days, we've had people passing on those kind of corn prices because they wonder if it will go even higher. So it's a very, let's call it a game of relativity based on what your perception of the market is today and into the future, and not necessarily what was going on in the past.
So the guy that saw that $7 corn is now wishing he sold it a week ago.
Well, in the last couple of days, yes, most would have believed that, but we have a tight corn supply in the United States. We really don't know what the situation is in Japan at this exact moment, and nobody knows if we're going to see a global effect on the economy. If you go back to 2008, that was one of the things that really slowed down the usage of commodities was the general, what's not called a collapse, but in many countries, a very, very sharp slowdown. And that's kind of the fear of the commodity bull today, that does global GDP drop 1 or 2%? That would be significant.
And it might happen because of what happened in Japan.
Right. If their economy would slow down and you would see oil supplies start to build, actually, in parts of the world, that would have a general price depressing effect on a lot of commodities, not just oil.
How does that work? How is corn tied to oil there?
Well, we use 5 billion bushels of a 13 billion bushel corn crop to produce ethanol here in the United States. So crude oil, corn, and ethanol are all joined at the hip in one fashion or another. As crude oil prices go up, generally you see more that can be paid for ethanol. We've also seen the price of corn go up. So for the last 7 or 8 months, since late June, early July, we've seen all three of those rise in value, but to the point where people could still profitably make ethanol from corn, even though the price went up $2.50 a bushel or more.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture in Marion County is brought to you in part by McCall Monument, Two Rivers Cooperative, Hewitt Service Center, The Linden House, McElveen Lumber, and Steenhook Appraisals. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting KNIAKRLS.com and clicking Radio Plus. Just visit KNIAKRLS.com, click Radio Plus, and catch up on in-depth programs that you may have missed. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Williamson HVAC Plumbing and Electrical, Pella Precast Products, Jersey Freeze, H&S Feed and Country Store, 3M, Tri-County Vet Clinic, HCI Care Services, formerly Hospice of Central Iowa, and RJ Performance.
I continued my conversation about Marion County agriculture with Ray Jenkins from Cargill Eddyville. When all of this is happening in Japan, and we're thinking about Japan right now, but it's not just Japan. You're thinking, you're watching Brazil and Argentina and the economies of Europe, certainly, the rest of Asia, and maybe even Africa, aren't you?
Right. For instance, right now, Brazil is projected to have a record soybean crop, and they're trying to harvest that crop down there. But it's somewhat wet in a couple of the major growing areas, and they're having trouble getting these soybeans harvested. If they would end up with some significant production losses, then the value of soybeans would rise. Then a farmer trying to make a planting decision for this spring who hasn't set his ideas in stone, at some point in the next 30 days, he may decide he wants to plant a few extra acres of soybeans then rather than corn. So every day it's a balancing act between all of the different commodities that get produced. I spent some time in Texas in February and visited with a group of farmers in Victoria, which is not far outside of Houston. And these southern farmers are very excited this year about growing additional cotton. 5 years ago, when the ethanol boom started, they were switching from cotton over to corn and soybeans. Now the value of cotton has risen significantly, and they're quite interested in growing cotton this year.
And which will affect our market and our prices.
Right, because there's a 1 to 2 million acres of this southern and mid-south production area that had been going to corn and soybeans that now might be planted to cotton. And this is a year when the market, quite honestly, can use every acre of corn production that we can handle here in the United States. But other cropping alternatives are also profitable as well. So nobody knows.
And so the Marion County farmer needs to be watching what's happening with those cotton plantings.
Absolutely. The first hint is here in the South, the planting progress has already started in far southern Texas. It actually begins down there in the south of San Antonio mid to late February down there, and then starts to move north. So the first clue is what kind of weather pattern that they have down there and whether these areas that plant corn in early to mid-March are getting a good start there. And then we'll just see as weather patterns move further north and we see what's going on with our springtime patterns up here. We don't know if flooding's going to be a major concern in Marion County again this year or not either.
How does somebody keep track of all of these variables? How do you watch? So you can watch, but how do you know? And you can have a pretty good idea of what's happening, but then how do you make decisions based on that?
Well, a lot of our farmers are in a rotation of corn and soybeans. And it's more a matter that, you know, if they're 50% corn, 50% soybeans, a lot of them kind of tend to stick with those rotations. There's obviously some advantages to soybeans because that particular crop, August weather is most important for soybeans. July weather is most important for corn because that's usually the period of pollination there. So by growing both crops, they're spreading some of their weather risk out there. Now, in the last 5 years, we've seen some change to farmers growing a higher percentage of corn than soybeans. But the last 2 years have been difficult years for corn production, while soybean production, especially in 2010, fared relatively well and much better than what the corn crop did. So the farmer, you know, he starts with kind of a baseline of an idea of what he wants to plant. Then a lot of it depends on just how quickly he can get into the field. There's kind of an old saying that when folks are able to plant corn early, they tend to plant an additional field of corn if things are going relatively well. So that's probably as key a factor right now as anything.
How does Cargill see its relationship to farmers? One sort of sees buyers and sellers in general in terms of the normal market. The person selling wants as high a price as they can get so they can maximize their profit. The person buying wants the lowest price they can get so they can maximize their profit. That's sort of the standard business model. How does Cargill approach that with farmers? How do you see your relationships with farmers?
Well, one of the real challenges is working within a multinational corporation, one of the largest private companies here in the United States, and yet having a very strong relationship with the local producers. You know, sometimes the phone rings and you buy a single truckload of corn. Sometimes the phone rings and you buy 50,000 or 100,000 bushels. So you have a tremendous variety of business activity when you're buying corn directly from farmers. And that's one of the things Cargill wanted to do about 20 years ago was develop stronger relationships directly with farmer corn suppliers. And that's kind of, I've been at this job 20 years, and that was one of the things that they wanted to accomplish was have folks that were willing to stay and work in a local area for a longer period of time. 20 years ago, the standard business model in our company was that grain merchandisers got moved every 1 to 2 years on a continuous basis. So it was difficult to build that long-term relationship there, and we've changed that to make that happen.
Because you grew up in the Melcher-Dallas area.
Grew up here. It wouldn't be that someone had to be particular from that area, but they just had to have the passion for that particular segment of the business and understand that, you know, I've been given great opportunities within this company to advance and grow my role, but still be here in Eddyville, Iowa.
And so you're just not buying and selling grain. You're buying grain from people that you know and grew up with and you have long-standing relationships with.
Right. You know, the company has over $1 billion invested in this corn processing facility. So I tell people, I said, well, you know, if we don't treat our corn supplier base incredibly well, you know, we don't have the ability to just pick this plant up and take it someplace else. I mean, we're here for the long term, and we need long-term relationships. You know, if somebody's having trouble getting corn delivered or a multitude of other issues, you know, that's what we're here for, is to help work out those things. We understand that not everything works perfectly every day in agriculture. We have our issues here from time to time as well. But, and our corn supplier base is quite helpful if we're having trouble here as far as being able to unload trucks. But yeah, I mean, it's all based on, we're trying to find the win-win in the relationships rather than a situation where somebody says, well, if you buy my corn, you win and I lose, or vice versa. That's not going to work in this business.
And so you're interdependent. If one does well, the other one does well.
We think that there's, you know, it's just like with these higher corn prices, because of our ability to hedge that production at the Chicago Board of Trade, you know, we can offer these high prices to corn producers without it damaging our bottom line. And so we're out there trying to get producers to sell what we think is the upper part of the price range here, because we think those are highly profitable prices.
And would you like to have a higher share of Marion County corn?
Well, we've got a pretty high share right now.
75%.
Yep, 75%. You know, some of that comes to us directly. And, of course, we've got a lot of elevator business partners, whether it's Smith Fertilizer, Two Rivers Co-op, Heartland Co-op, Tracy Elevator. You know, those are all players in the Marion County corn market as well.
And so any final thoughts you'd like to share with the listeners?
Well, I just think we have the potential for a tremendous opportunity in agriculture this year. As you mentioned, you know, we have most segments of agriculture pretty profitable right now. And generally, we're always kind of looking over our shoulder about what's coming to knock us off of that little pedestal we're on. And so that's why we encourage folks to be scale-up sellers of corn, so that when we have issues like just transpired in the last 2 weeks where the price of corn dropped a dollar, you don't have that seller's remorse if you've been dribbling some supply into the market. We all want the absolute best price we can get, but you know, the nature of this business is that on any given sale, when you look back at it, you're either going to wish you had sold much more or much less. It's just the nature of the business.
Thanks to Ray Jenkins for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com, on demand or for download. Just click Radio Plus. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to bobleonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in Marion County is KNIAKRLS.